Unfortunately, our next speaker and my co-moderator, Dr. Rechtenwald, could not make it today because of a family emergency, but he was very courteous and provided me with his slides, so I'll be giving the next talk about best techniques of placement of IVC filter on his behalf. So I'll be talking about the best techniques for IVC filter placement. No disclosures for myself or Dr. Rechtenwald. First, we'll talk a little bit about the anatomy, access, placement, common pitfalls, and we'll start with the artistic work from Da Vinci about the heart and the IVC and the circulation. When we're planning on doing placement of IVC filter, we always have to get information and imaging and delineate the anatomy. We start always with a venogram. In some specific centers, intravenous vascular ultrasound can be used also to delineate the anatomy. I find it very helpful when I'm planning a placement of an IVC filter, especially if the patient is an inpatient who came with a trauma or other comorbidities. A lot of times those patients have CAT scans for a variety of reasons, and it's always helpful to review those because they also help with defining the anatomy. When doing the venogram, it's very important to identify the contralateral iliac vein, evaluate the IVC for a presence of thrombus, determine the size and the diameter of the IVC, and identify where the renal veins are, especially the location of the left renal vein, which is typically the lowest of the two renal veins. This is a classic IVC venogram. You can see the anatomy, you can see the renal vein, and you can see the diameter. And that is important. Most IVC filters are placed in the infrarenal position below the renal veins. The reasoning being if a filter traps a large clot and there's occlusion of the cava, having the filter below the renal vein prevents thrombosis of the renal veins and potentially renal compromise. There are some important anatomic variation when doing the venogram that we should be looking for. The presence of a duplicated IVC is probably one of the most common, and it happens in up to 2% of the population. Left-sided IVC is less common, approximately 0.5% of the cases, and very rarely you can get congenital IVC atresia. And these are important because these will affect how the placement of the IVC filter will be performed. This is an example of a left-sided IVC, and with a open anatomical exposure. Sometimes in the hepatic portion of the IVC can be totally thrombosed, as in this diagram, and you can see in this schematic that the intrahepatic portion is occluded, and actually the cava continues as an azygous vein, and you can see this on the CAT scan, and this is typically the azygous vein running posteriorly and posterior to the where you would expect the IVC and the liver. Access is very important. The optimal access site for IVC filter placement depends on the presence of DVT. If somebody has a lower extremity DVT, I typically try to stay away from the ipsilateral leg affected. If there's orthopedic hardware or surgical exposures involving part of the groins, also it's best to stay away from those surgical sites. Most commonly it's an infrarenal IVC. Sometimes you can place a suprarenal IVC or SVC, superior vena cava, also IVC filter, very rarely. And depending on the technique, most commonly those are done under fluoroscopic guidance. It's always best to use an ultrasound when accessing the site. First, it will be able to delineate if there's any thrombus in the area, and next you decrease your risk of complications. Most importantly, inadvertent puncture of an artery or formation of an AV fistula, and this can be done at the bedside or formally with an ultrasound prior, but most commonly we use those to access in the operating room or in the angio suite. Most commonly IVC filters are placed through the femoral veins, less commonly from the jugular veins, but there are alternative accesses if these veins are not accessible. Filters can be placed from either a brachial vein or antecubital vein, or sometimes the greater saphenous vein in a large potentially obese patients can be accessed, and these are typically large and can be used to get access into the venous system. A study from the American Venous Forum data in the registry of IVC filter shows that the femoral approach is the preferred one, with 65% of cases placed, most commonly from the right side. Second most common is the jugular approach, and only in rare, less than 1% of the cases, other approaches are used. Typically, the right side is used preferentially because in most patients the IVC is a right-sided structure, and it's the lineup of the filter and of the delivery system is best with the right-sided approach, especially the right femoral or the right IJ. Complication with inadvertent puncture can be from bleeding, hematoma, or AV fistulas, and. So as I mentioned, the right femoral approach is best, and the left femoral approach is more oblique and typically tends to result in more tilting and malposition of the IVC filter. Having said that, some of the newer IVC filters that are available on the market have centering mechanism, and they actually, even if you deploy, come from the left side at an angle, a lot of times you can get excellent placement. This is just a venogram showing. So for internal jugular approach, this is preferred if you suspect thrombus in the iliac veins. It's also another straight shot to the IVC, as we mentioned. The left IJ approach is very rarely used because it comes at a significant angle, and there's significant also navigation around the heart to cross into the IVC. It's preferable when coming from a jugular approach to use a stiff sheath and stiff wire to stabilize the sheath and the access through the heart, and also to visualize actually the crossing of the sheath and the devices through the heart fluoroscopically to avoid any injuries or lacerations to the heart or to the valves. And this is just a demonstration of that. And we discussed that, so it's very important to visualize your crossing across the heart and be careful of any anomalies. Alternative approaches such as the antecubital brachial vein access has been described in case reports, and they have similar pitfalls. The access veins are smaller, so you have to use a smaller device. Most of the devices available on the market are 7 French and can be placed through a brachial vein or an antecubital vein. For using intravascular ultrasound-guided access without basically any contrast, and the advantage of those is they can be done potentially in an ICU setting in a critically ill patient who does not have to transfer to a procedure suite for X-ray. And in one of the studies, it shows that most commonly the access is right femoral, and in those cases, because there's no available X-ray, typically the vertebral bodies can be seen with intravascular ultrasound, and a successful deployment is considered a deployment between L1 and L4. And in those studies, they found that there was significant malposition, most commonly when coming from the left femoral approach compared to the right femoral or the right IJ. Another registry study looking at 68 centers in the UK, and basically they confirmed that if the right femoral access is not available, probably the right IJ access is the second best, because filters placed from the left femoral approach are significantly higher risk of tilting and malpositioning. Few words about SVC filters and suprarenal IVC filter. Regarding placement of a suprarenal IVC filter, the same principle of the infrarenal apply. Key is to measure the size of the cava where it's going to be deployed. Typically, a size of 28 to 30 millimeter max is the size for most retrievable filter. For size more than that, up to 40 millimeter, a bird's nest filter can be placed, which is a non-retrievable filter but is associated with higher risk of complication if needed to be placed. So So this is one of the venogram of trying to place an IVC filter. Anybody in the audience wants to comment on that venogram? Sorry? All right, sounds good. We have a winner. So the keys to look at on that venogram is, if you look at that area, most commonly when you do a venogram and there's a normal confluence of the iliac veins, you would see some turbulent flow here, and you see there's no turbulent flow whatsoever coming from the right side. The other thing is the size of the cava looks on the smaller side, and there's a very large left renal vein. And in those cases, if you select the other side, you can see that there's a duplicated cava. And in those cases, typically, you can either place two IVC filters, one in each of the IVCs, or if the size of the suprarenal vena cava is not very large, you can place a suprarenal IVC filter as an alternative. There's always risk of maldeployment with IVC filter. If you don't have good imaging, you can potentially inadvertently be deployed in lumbar vein or renal vein or right gonadal vein, especially when coming from an IJ approach, because these can appear, it may seem that you're in the IVC, but if you don't confirm with the venography, you know your wire may be in the gonadal vein, and that can be a problem. And these are images, and this is one inadvertent filter actually deployed in the spinal canal. Migration is a very important complication to avoid, and this is why, as I said, 28 to 30 millimeter, depending on the filter type, is the maximal size of the cava that can receive an IVC filter. And migration to the heart can be a disaster. In summary, know the caval anatomy, make sure you define the patient's anatomy. Right-sided approaches are preferred, and alternative sites for IVC filters placement are sometimes needed. And thank you very much. And this is Wisconsin.